Welcome to You're Making It Worse. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
We're here. We're queer.
Meh.
Textual healing.
So, just a reminder that you can, if you're listening to our beautiful, beautiful voices, we did get a comment recently. I don't know if you shared this with me, Brent, or if I just saw it on Instagram
probably
somewhere.
Not.
But because, yeah, I don't think you shared this. Because we have been putting these out on YouTube and on Spotify, the video that people can watch us, people now can tell our voices apart. And this one person said they were very surprised that after years of listening to this podcast, now they have watched us and they were shocked to learn that you have your voice and I have my voice.
That is very hurtful.
hurtful.
No. It's hurtful because you're like, you've listened for years and you like, I mean, it makes sense. I understand why, because they've never seen us, but like,
they still couldn't
tell us apart.
It's not hurtful.
No,
it's just we have similar.
It's fine.
I mean, I don't hear it. I don't hear what people hear in that. I don't get it. But I'm just a reminder that if you do want to tell Brent and I's voices apart, you can watch this podcast on both YouTube and on Spotify. And of course, you can also always watch us and our bonus segment, Oh, You Son of a Bitch, on Patreon. We had a very deep discussion on Patreon.
We had a very vulnerable discussion.
We get
a little more sensitive. We talked to Elliot usually about his rendezvous.
Well, Elliot sat there with his nipple clamps on, crying. And it was,
you know,
it
what
was
I realized?
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
You know what I realized? And this is a horror that I realized this weekend. Now that we are recording the whole video and putting it on YouTube, I can't do that joke I did about how we were dressed. Remember, like every three to six months.
Painting a picture of me wearing nipple clamps or being naked or whatever.
Wrestling singlet, chocolate sauce, and twister mats behind you. And that's a huge deal for me.
Wow.
And
you're just going to have to write new material, Brent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No thanks.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the topic. So President Biden is hunting for the gays in a good way again. The re-election campaign launched Out for Biden Harris this week. And in a statement from campaign manager Julie Chavez Rodriguez, they said that LGBTQ plus voters are a force to be reckoned with. They are critical to our victory in 20. They were critical in 2020, and they will be critical to winning again this November. That's why we're thrilled to launch Out for Biden Harris, which will harness the LGBTQ community's organizing prowess to re-elect President Biden and Vice President Harris. Now, it's interesting that this is the most pro-queer sort of president we've ever had. I think we say that sort of as a thing, but also like any Democratic president who becomes president now will always be more pro-gay than the last one because of the movement and how we go. Hopefully that continues. But Biden and Harris hold unique positions, milestones in queer history. So it is interesting that they're together in this. As vice president, Biden famously forced the Obama administration to support marriage equality very early, before the Obama administration had been originally planning to endorse marriage equality. And it was Biden on Meet the Press who just said it and sent the Obama administration into a tizzy right before the 2012 election, which was wild to think about, that it was almost an accident that led to so much change and to a president running for president on a platform that supported marriage equality, something that we had never had before in this country. So that was a big, moment.
I will throw this out. I have read the insider accounts of that,
Biden, Obama wrote about it.
Biden coming out in support of marriage equality on Meet the Press. And they were so mad. Like the Obama campaign was not ready to do it. Politically speaking, in the run up to the election and everything. And it's just so funny.
It was,
considered one of his like biggest big deal gaffes.
Yeah, it was a gaffe, but it was a gaffe that led to so many things. I mean, it led to the Supreme Court decision. It led to a lot of movement in that direction from the Democratic Party side that led to a lot of other changes. So that gaffe was a very powerful gaffe. Isn't gaffe also like a crotch thing?
Are you thinking like fluffer?
Gash?
No, gaff.
Gash.
Like gaff.
Are you thinking gash?
Regardless. You guys leave it in the comments if it doesn't have anything to do with crotch. Because if so, a powerful gaff is a funny thing. And Vice President Harris, also interestingly, in 2004, she was the district attorney for the city of San Francisco and was one of the first officials to perform same-sex marriages in that city, which was a very big deal. Remember when Rosie O'Donnell went and married her wife there and then they divorced a couple of years later? I remember that.
Alan, the answer is no, I don't remember that because that wasn't important to anyone but you.
Do you think,
it was important to me.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Do you think that the LGBTQ plus community is ready for a Biden-Harris part deux?
Go ahead, Brent. Sorry.
I mean, I certainly think so. And let me remind you, according to the exit polls that I saw, 2020 was the worst the Democrats have done with the LGBT community since the 90s. The best we did was actually 2016, was Hillary Clinton. And the worst we did since the 90s was 2020. So
Why do you think that is?
I don't remember my theory as to why. It seems like sort of an anomaly to me. But, you know, I certainly hope that that won't be the case in 2024.
Should it be a statement on gay men not liking daddies? That's a President Biden's age, maybe? That could be possible.
But I would generally argue that gay men
he's not quite a sugar daddy. I did find it interesting, and I do find this period in the queer community really interesting because of so much of sort of the very liberal side of the Democratic Party is very focused, rightfully so, on what's happening in Israel and Gaza.
And
that's a big issue. And when the statement came out about this, one of the things I always go to the comment section just to see. I mean, it's never a statement on how people feel ever. The comment section on Instagram, whenever President Biden posts anything or the campaign posts something or whatever it is. And so much of the queer sort of liberal activist base is very much anti-Biden in so far as because of the administration's actions with the war. And so I wonder if that, and we're seeing that even in states like Michigan, where they're sitting out the Democratic primary, they're not intentionally not voting for Biden because to make a statement about the war. And I do wonder if the queer part of that activist base, which is at least we know, even if it isn't a large portion of the base, it still can move an election in a state if they mobilize. We've seen that in election after election. I wonder what impact that will have, the disdain that people have for the administration because of these international actions.
Well, this is obviously something I've given a lot of thought to because I had a terrible argument with a friend at a party recently who is taking a pretty hard line stance at the moment. But I generally believe when push comes to shove, third party candidates generally fizzle. I cannot guarantee that will happen, but they do normally fizzle. I think Trump is personally, I think he's running very, very far right. And I think that'll be unpalatable to enough normal people who don't spend their day commenting on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so my suspicion has been that we will, that things will fall in line. But I also, this is the first time in my entire adult life where I've had to take a step back and say, I cannot cajole and twist the arms of millions of people across this country. We know what we'll get if we don't vote for a guy that you might find boring and a guy who doesn't do exactly what you want all the time. But you know what you're getting in Donald Trump. And I, for one, will not go to any fucking protests because he won. I'm not going to protest his Supreme Court choices when he picks them. I'm not going to go to any of these fucking rallies of fighting for women's rights because we have one simple choice. You have a guy who's borrowing dictatorial rhetoric, or you have a boring Democrat. That's it, bitch.
Yeah, but
you have one choice.
And,
I want Brent to go on Meet the Press and sit there and be like,
that's it, bitch. It's true. And if you sit this out, don't fucking tell me you're moving to Canada because you're not. Don't show up at some fucking protest because no one cares. Like, the choice is in 7 months.
The sitting out part is wild to me. I don't understand the thought. I understand because I'll admit it too. I am not excited by Biden. Biden is not an exciting. I respect Biden and the work that Biden has done over the years and his presence in the party. I do think that it would have been great to have somebody else more dynamic, but we don't have that person. The reality is
we
don't have that person.
Is we don't. Right.
I really, but I do. I will say this. I want to go knock, knock, knocking on the White House door. And I want to be like, yo, Joe, you're great. I love you. I love ice cream too. However, we need to talk about these speeches because you sound like angry grandpa. And even when you're not trying to be angry, you sound like angry grandpa. And I want to tone down the angry grandpa, and I want a little bit of, here, have a hard candy grandpa. Like, I need I need hard candy grandpa from Werther's Joe. Original. I need a Werther's original Joe.
I used to like when he, like back in 2020, when people were like, he's sleepy or whatever. All right, I guess. My whole thing was like, I like my grandpa. Like,
yeah,
I want a president who's a grandpa who doesn't use Twitter to dictate and legislate. He's not I like someone who's not insane. You know,
I'm sleepy too. I love to sleep.
But like, he's like, for all the right reasons, he was voted in. I understand the distaste, but I also think people I'm horrified as well by, I think, a lot of queer progressive people about the way that America has, you know, handled itself and with Israel and Palestine. Like, it's nauseating to think about and it's awful, but there is a reality at hand, and like Brent said, you have two choices. It sucks. Maybe you don't love the choices, but you have two choices.
Bitch.
can I also throw this out? 'Cause this is another thing that I've been absolutely gobsmacked on. I don't have a single modern analog for an American voting population that is willing to blame an American president for the choices and the actions of a foreign country. I do not know single analog.
You need to look to Jimmy Carter. So what happened with Iran in the last days of Carter's presidency, the hostages that were taken, and the impact that had on a presidential election, and also the way in which Ronald Reagan used that and some say secretly negotiated with Iran to release the hostages minutes after his
days
inauguration.
After, I see it, but my understanding of most of those hostages was that they were Americans, correct?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, I mean, I there were a couple, like a handful of Americans taken hostage originally from Israel, but like,
but it wasn't them being an American. It showed, at least on its surface, it seemed like Carter was weak. It seemed like he wasn't doing his job because he couldn't get these hostages, no matter where they came from. He couldn't get them released, and it's the same with I think Biden right now, in that he looks weak because he doesn't see, or he's not speaking to what the Democratic base's request is to be harder on Israel and some of the actions that Netanyahu is taking. And because Israel holds a very special, unique place within recent American history, but also American Jewry, it is kind of an American issue in a lot of ways. Anything Israel becomes an American issue because of the relationship with Israel that we have both as Jews, but also as a country in the past 100 years and with NATO and all of those things, G7, all of those things, you know,
I understand that. I still think we are conceding way too much power to a foreign country. If we are willing to candidate over another,
I totally
based
agree.
Upon
we're
the
not
actions
voting,
of a
mean.
Foreign nation or not.
Yeah.
Vote.
Yeah, I. So, I
don't try to hang out with me at a party. How about that? Let's just put that. If you fucking sit this one out, motherfucker, and I will fucking find out. Do not try to hang out with me at a fucking party. I'll spit in your fucking f-ing ass face.
Oh my God, Brent, Jesus Christ.
Not even joking.
Well, we are joined today by a hilarious comic based in Austin, friend of the podcast, and he has a coveted Creek and the Cave email address. Everyone Thank you so much for joining us, Colton Dowling. Hey, Colton.
Hey, you don't know what I had to do to get that address.
I would be quite curious.
But I'd do it again.
Do you work there as well as it's a comedy club in Austin.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
Also add that we all were part of in some way or another when it was in Queens. Are you an employee as well as an
naked
artist?
Naked at the Creek in the Cave, actually. Right. I did the Naked show there.
Oh, once. My God.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. And I helped make the basement smell like piss a little bit. So we're all in the same boat.
Wow.
When it moved from New York to Austin, I got in. So I'm one of the co-owners of Austin.
One of the co-owners.
Austin is such a great city. It really is.
Alan is like weirdly very pro-Texas for someone who's so liberal.
Saying you like Austin does not make you pro-Texas, Brent.
It's a city. Colton, are you from Texas originally?
No, I'm an Army brat, but I was hung up on the word weirdly pro-Texas. Like, how weird does it get, Alan? What are you getting?
I mean, I don't know. That Brent has an agenda in his head that me loving Austin makes me pro-Texas, apparently. But I love Austin.
Alan is this, like, Alan's always auditioning to be president of MSNBC. He's, like, the most liberal guy on the planet. And
Am
he's
I?
Like weirdly,
Am I?
Yes. And he's weirdly like loves Florida and loves Texas. And I'm like, these are the states we're always mad at.
Okay. And Colton, right. Let me tell you, I love Austin and I love Miami. Anyone arguably who loves those two cities are not pro Florida or Texas.
Yeah. And I don't date any toxic men, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Wait, tell us about, you were an Army brat. So you moved all over the country.
I did some time in Europe, and I did some time in Western America and Colorado. So I went to high school in Colorado Springs.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
It's beautiful. Sure. Too many Christians, you know. You might be pro-Colorado, but you're not pro-Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I'm not pro-Colorado. I wouldn't say that.
No. How long were you in New York? When and how long were you in New York?
I was just there for a full week, and I'm just so tired. Like, I just, like, totally got the whole, like, vibe of a New Yorker, because I'm like, it took so long to get here, and I'm so tired.
Have you ever lived in New York?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
No, I've spent, like, month-long stints there, but every time I leave, the day I get there, I go, I could live here. And the day I leave, I go, I'm never coming back.
That's how I feel about San Francisco. Like, I get to the city and I'm like, oh, the weather, it's so great. And the city's beautiful and, you know, beautiful people and like everything's great. Actually, not so beautiful people. But then you step back and you're like, wow, this city actually kind of sucks. Like, not only do I have a faint smell of something on me, but I think I have an infection from something. Like, there's something.
It's a lot of infections.
Something in San Francisco. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's a lovely city, though.
You're walking back the beautiful comment. You're like, ooh, I would hate to have walk into the wrong sex room.
It's still beautiful, Colton.
I said it already. I said they were gorgeous.
Yeah.
What drew you to Austin? Because you've been there for a bit now, and the Creek in the Cave is obviously now in Austin. That seems like, I mean, you would know better, obviously, but it feels like a pretty big part of the comedy community in the city. How long have you been there, and what drew you there?
Oh,
I know.
Logan cut him off. Oh my God.
No, don't worry. He needs to be cut off on his question. He's fine. He went too long anyway. Go on, Colton.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I moved down here because I was recovering from an ACL injury. I was playing rugby, blew out my knee, and my sister lived down here, and I was going to come down here for 4 weeks, and I've been here for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
Did that ACL ever recover? What happened?
Yeah, I got surgery. And so they did that. I don't play rugby anymore. There's just something where you look down and your leg's not connected anymore, and you just stop doing that thing that you were doing while you did that.
Yeah.
Was it gay rugby?
That specific league was. But I grew up playing rugby. Yeah. That specific game was actually the San Diego gay boys.
Oh,
wow.
Gay leagues are so interesting to me. So Elliot, I don't know, were you on this too, Brent, when we did the gay bowling? No, you weren't there. It was just Elliot and I. And like, I think Elliot and I went in because, I mean, look at me. I'm not a sports person. Like, that's not what I do. I don't barely leave this.
We can't see your legs. We have no idea what your legs look like.
I'll DM you pictures later. But when we did the bowling situation, Elliot and I thought, oh, this is great. We can, like, do a gay league sport and, like, get drunk and just be stupid with bowling. No, these fucking fuckers, they, like, took it seriously. Like, they were intense about it. And I'm like, you're in a fucking bowling alley next to hot dogs. Like, I'm here for the hot dogs.
Unkind crowd.
Wow. Unkind.
Yeah.
Unkind.
My husband's very into flag football, and it takes everything in me to not be like, he's like, so you coming to the game? I go, no. He's like, you don't have the board? I go, no, I don't know what's happening, but, like, I'm happy you have a thing, and you could go do that on Saturdays at 9 a.m. That's how you want to do your Saturdays at 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. Ooh.
You know.
That is rough.
No, that's too much.
Colton, you are the co-host of a very popular podcast, Some of This is Bad, and it's hilarious.
I have to drag you. Yes, that's right. I said I needed to drag you for something. But, Brent, sorry, please, just hit. Colton is co-hosts a podcast called Some of This is Bad, which is great, and there was a clip that they posted recently that
Is there something that you can read on your Grindr profile where you're going like, oh, that guy's like a really good guy? I thought I was doing, but then somebody read, like, actually, do you guys both have Grindrs?
No,
I don't.
I do, yes.
Brent, would you mind just reading your bio out loud?
I'll read it for you.
I actually hold on. I have it time limited on my phone, but I have 1 minute left. I have 1 minute left because otherwise, if I have no limit, then I just spend countless hours. My bio right now says, does anyone actually read this? My messages are acting up, or maybe just no one is messaging me.
Colton, what did yours say?
Okay. So I
Colton? Can you up that?
But it said stand-up comedian.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
I don't want to misquote myself, so let me get into there. I love that I pulled up the clip instead of my Grindr profile.
Yeah, it's your Grindr.
It says, have crippling ADHD, so if I don't respond to you, you're beautiful, and thank you for being here.
Absolutely not.
I like that. I like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with those messages. Those messages that say, if I don't respond, it's not personal. I get that.
Right, but then, like, you're beautiful. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming to the bathhouse. Did you actually start with stand-up comedian, though? Is that the actual first line of your bio?
That part's a problem.
Why is that a problem?
Because I mean, it's like you're doing if you were at a sex party, you don't walk up to someone and say, yo, I work at CVS. Like, it's not you don't lead with your fucking CVS profession, you know? And also I'm sorry, like, Colton, you're a very attractive human being, but no one wants to actually be attracted to stand-up comedians. So, like, you can't like lead with that. Like, that has to be, I think, the last thing, being like, oh, and I'm a stand-up comedian, in parentheses, I'm sorry.
Right. But I think that's just like the self-loathing of a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, sure. But that's also the job.
My take is so different from Brent's, because I think when you say you're a beautiful human, I think I hear that as being like, too fat, not interested.
But it might be if that was a specific response to a message that you sent, but it is a blanket statement that's being delivered to everyone.
I agree with Brendan.
You can't necessarily imply meaning onto that.
Yeah,
true. That's true.
Yeah, but it just feels it when I read it back to me. It feels so insincere to be like everyone's beautiful.
Everyone's beautiful. Yeah, of course, that's of like course. Very live, laugh, love. But this is why your podcast is great because it's so cathartic.
Elliot's Wi-Fi connection is so homophobic.
Sorry. Can you hear me now,
Elliot? Sorry. Yeah, start that over again.
Please.
I'm saying the reason that your podcast is so fantastic is because it's a very clear, true dynamic among friends, by the way. I'm familiar with that, by the way. But it's also conversations that I feel like I don't hear said out loud. And your friends are like roasting you for something that is never spoken. It's silent. The pain of Grindr and online dating and apps to me is that it's all done in silence. There's no vocals attached to it. So to hear it said out loud is just something about it is so freeing. And the fact that you are such a good sport, obviously, you could react however you wanted, but you're like, no, yeah, you're right. You just let them have you. And then you took it down.
Right. I definitely had to change the words, but I feel like it is one of those things like dating is just like the funniest thing in ever. Yeah. Like, what's up with dating? Will never not be something a comic talks about. So I feel like when you just like put yourself out there, it's like, yeah, I'm going to make a lot of fucking mistakes and that's okay.
Yeah. I love that you said that. Yeah. I love hearing that.
I do want to ask you, cause like, you know, there is a thing of like comedians, like, you know, revealing parts of themselves and sort of being vulnerable and stuff, but to have also an OnlyFans that also adds a different dynamic to sort of like how someone reacts to your comedy or how someone reacts to you or even interacts with you at shows and stuff. So like, what sort of impact has having an OnlyFans had on your comedy?
I don't have an OnlyFans.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I was like, you clearly have a link to it, and I clicked on it, and it does not go to a funny page.
Right. It's not a blank URL. Yeah.
I was just testing to see if you had $10. That's all. I've seen your insides, so you do. Mm-hmm.
I got $10, but are you worthy of it? Let's finish this interview and we'll talk.
I always found that my stand-up had to break that wall anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't change the way I look. And people always put that on me anyways. So it's not like I got a fat ass. And I'm wearing jeans that lift it. I'm sorry. I'm wearing, like, it's out there. So, like, for me to just pretend that no one sexualizes me on stage is crazy. I mean, so...
You know, it's funny because Alan touched upon this a minute ago, but, like, I was always of the belief that stand-up, to me, is the least sexy thing. I'm someone who happens to be very self-deprecating and... But I think there's a younger generation. Sorry, I guess without getting into the weeds, I've always found it unsexy. And then I remember being shocked many years in when almost everyone is like, no, it is sexy because it's very powerful and commanding to be on stage. Yeah. And so it's fun. So when I saw you on an OnlyFans page, I definitely was curious about like what's that like? Like when you go, like when you have shows, like do you feel like people are showing up because they follow your OnlyFans, or are they showing up because, or do you think they're viewing you differently because you have an OnlyFans or something like that?
No, I think all of those ideas are cognitive dissonance where you truly believe like, no, people are listening to me. No, stand up is an idea of a person you want to be, but though my performance is not. I people don't come up to me afterwards and be like, wow, you're cool. I want to fuck. Like, when I hear these straight guys talking about having sex with these girls afterwards, I'm like, that is not my experience.
That has never happened to me.
Yeah. But it's also kind of I hate to bring up his name, but it's the Matt Rife effect on sort of stand up, especially TikTok stand up in a lot of ways too. Social media stand up in that. You know, Matt Rife was noticed because not because he was funny at all, but because he was attractive and he was able to edit together clips that then worked on social media, on TikTok. Now, we all know how that worked when the Netflix special came out and the way that got roasted. And so, like, attraction and having that physical appearance doesn't really, it only takes you so far in that, can you back it up? You know what I mean? I think of like, well, like, you know, our good friend of the pod, Nikki Glaser, her and I had a conversation about this on my other podcast not long ago about how that attraction can be used in order to get people in, but you can't keep them there just by looking good. You have to be able to deliver the funny.
I mean, even Taylor Swift, with her dad buying her a platinum record for her first album, she had to then have talent to keep us around.
Yeah.
But she got her foot in the door because of being lucky the way she was born. Yeah, I think it's the same exact thing. I mean, I've definitely had people come up to me like wanting me to be a specific way, and then seeing my performance and being like, oh, I thought it was going to be like, with your shirt off. And I'm like, you must be really fucking disappointed with us, like, what I just did on stage.
Can you imagine how awkward that would be if that you just got up?
Wild.
So that wild.
Wait, so I am currently between OnlyFans profiles. So I did not join.
What does that mean, Brent?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I delete them a lot. I will create a profile when I'm sort of in a weak point in my life. I join a bunch of pages. I'm usually disappointed by most of them, and then I delete it so I won't be
tempted to go back.
Tempted to do it again.
Yeah.
So I'm currently between profiles. But what, if you don't mind me asking, because your profile does say NSF, N, not safe for work. So what's your OnlyFans profile like? Is it like explicit or is it stand up?
It's not stand up at all. And the only reason I added that is because all these people doing the OnlyFans comedy tour or whatever thing. And I was like, I would hate for somebody to be like, and just for the record, I don't spread, so
so it is not safe for work.
What is it like? You do stuff with your husband, or is it just you?
No, that's been like a contentious point because I like my husband. I love my husband, but I'm always like, I don't want you fucking me on camera. Like, I want a stranger fucking me on camera. I don't know why that's better, but I don't want people like, this relationship is like a tucked away thing that I have for me. And I'm not necessarily trying to like share my boy, even though I like to think of myself as the boy, obviously.
I mean, we haven't seen your husband, so it's not so obvious, but
good point.
You could be you could be the daddy, and for all we know, you know,
I mean, I'm curious though,
terrible father,
how challenging is it? Like I should say, I guess, what degree of contention is it? Like, does he not approve of the OnlyFans at all, or does he just want to be on the OnlyFans and you feel like it's a separate thing?
No, he's very involved.
Like Mama June, Mama June of.
You've heard of Britney Spears in like a conservatorship, and it was really hard for her. I'm in kind of a similar situation, but like, I really don't need to be freed, and please don't free me. I won't do that. I'll be outside. So he actually gives me honey-do list, and the honey-do list is like, I need to get a wedgie photo because they asked for that. I want to buy your jock strap, so I'm going to need you to wear that for 2 days.
Oh,
interesting.
Fun.
Interesting.
That's fun. I mean, look, you guys could do that together. I mean, that's a fantastic way to bond. I totally see how that works, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I have crippling ADHD, and I'm like just happy I show up every day. So if he could just like help me manage anything, any part of that.
How do you work? I mean, this isn't an OnlyFans question. Sorry, Brent. But how do you like handle, I mean, because I can't imagine, to me, doing stand-up, you know, we've all been doing stand-up for a long time now, and like performing on stage and doing lots of things. And I don't really have anxiety around performing, but I can't imagine what it's like dealing with ADHD, like during a performance, you know what I mean? Like actually getting on stage and doing crowd work and stuff. How do you handle
that? Yeah, and what is it? How does it, what does ADHD manifest? What does it look like when it manifests in you? It looks like that. It's like,
but also, Elliot, that's not really a question.
It's basically just like shifting gears, and I'm driving really fast, and then I'm like, oh, God, we got it. And I think that at the beginning, I tried to control it. And whenever I had an intrusive thought on stage, it would be like, Gulten, you're going to ruin your tempo. But I find that, like, my God, I hate that I'm saying this. But do you guys know the improv Pretty Little Flower?
Yeah.
How there's, like, tiny little things, and they come back and they circle back.
Yeah.
I kind of see myself, like, on stage, kind of like building a log tower thing, and I'm kind of like stacking in, and then the ADHD with the crowd work, I'll be like, holy hell, that works right over here, and then it'll tumble down and it's bad, and then I'll have to build it again.
Well, it kind of feels like it adds to, like, I mean, because I watched a little bit of your stand-up and just watching your podcast too, and just how you communicate, and it feels like there's, like, a frenetic energy that you can tell ADHD would actually kind of benefit in how you do your work, because it allows you to kind of connect the pieces in a way that someone like, at least myself on stage, I'm just trying to, like, create funny moments, and I'm not thinking about the next seven things in my head. That the next seven things aren't in my head, but they're in your head because of the ADHD. So it's interesting to watch how that plays out on stage then.
It's definitely, so I think one of the things when you reach, like, mid-level, they always go, like, slow down. You gotta let it breathe, and that way you can get two laughs for one laugh. And I'm like, I would love to be Anthony Jeselnik. That sounds like so. I think actually my dad would like me to be Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah.
I didn't come out of the closet till he died or something. Okay. I don't even know what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. I don't necessarily think about how I relate to other people so much as how can I squeeze the most juice out of what I'm saying at the current moment.
Yeah.
Totally. So, yeah, I can see it looks crazy from maybe the other side of the hill, but over here we're having fun.
Yeah. It makes all the sense inside. Now I'm going to bring it back to OnlyFans because that's the only thing I care about in life.
Brent.
Do you get competitive? Do you get, like, jealous? Like, how seriously are you taking your page? Like, when you, like, do you want, do you want
Brent's
it to
available
grow?
For Brent's available to consult for you.
Brent wants to manage your page.
Are you asking me if I want to be a star?
I've literally thought I'm in contact with, like, 8 people on Instagram convincing them to make an OnlyFans page. So much about it. But yeah, so what's it like for you, Colton? Like, is it just, like, a fun distraction, or are you, like, really, like, I want to make a lot of money doing this?
I don't really know what a lot of money would feel like. I would love a lot of money. I hear numbers and I go, that's a big number, but I feel like with the amount of work I do, I'm already getting a lot of money. And it's like, I get like $3,000 a month, and I'm like, taking the same photos I would take on a regular basis, but I'm uploading it to this thing.
Yeah. So,
like, my first 15 photos were just my Grindr album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and some guy sent me a message like, hey, I just had to go to the hospital because I got testicular torsion. Looking at your photos. And the doctor goes, you must have been looking at some good shit. And I said, yeah, his name's Colton Dowling. And I was like, those are photos, dude.
Wow.
What year are we in?
Wait, I'm confused. I thought OnlyFans is only video.
No, it's pictures too. You can post photos too.
Oh.
I mean, Elliot is like weirdly anti-porn. He doesn't like watch porn.
I'm not anti-porn.
Alan's anti-music. He's pro-Texas. He's pro-Florida. Yeah. And Elliot's anti-porn.
He's a free tour. He's Elliot the free tour.
Let's get Elliot some passcodes.
What's the last website you went to, Elliot?
Good question.
I don't know.
Mine was Amazon.com.
What?
I wanted to order Elliot a green dildo, a neon green dildo.
Oh my god!
And so
this
mine
is not
was
about me. It's not about me.
Oh my god!
I can make anything about you, baby.
Well,
Brent thinks it's funny because I don't surf the. I'm not interested in perusing sites and. I hope you're not offended by this, but it feels like a waste of time to be like spending time looking for porn or videos or whatever. I have a I have like six, a collection of six.
He had
10.
Six videos on a backup hard drive, and that's the only porn he's ever watched his entire life.
Literally, Colton.
By the way, that's great, but it's just so counter to me.
Yeah, yes. I don't want in general, I don't like too many options. You know, I'd rather go to like a shopping, like a strip mall with 10 options, you know, and it's like
he wants to go to the same antique shop where the lady keeps the same things on display because she can't part with them, and that's his porn. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. sad little antique shop that her husband bought for her.
Yeah, I don't want to scroll. It's like
you are better for it.
There's a search bar.
Wait, what'd you say? What'd you say, Colton?
There's a search bar. You can say, I like this specific thing. And they go, perfect, I got you.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, that's how almost everyone else watches porn. Well, we lost Elliot for the 20th time. So, Colton, this was an absolute delight. Where can people follow you on the interweb? Where can people follow you on OnlyFans?
And where can Brent hire you to make you his first client?
Yeah, hey, I need an agent. My husband is like very like, I knew one day I was going to have to fire him. I saw Britney Spears fire her dad, and I was like, I'm going to have to fire my husband. That's going to happen. I'm going to have to be ready for that conversation. I'm at Colton Dowling on Instagram. That's basically where I direct people. Perfect. My podcast is called Some of This Is Bad.
Yeah.
And all the links are on
Check
the Instagram.
Out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Colton, so much.
This flew by. Thank you guys so much.
And another thing.
Well, something that's been happening recently online is there seems to be an interest in something called the seasonal color palette. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that's been around for decades at this point. And I remembered hearing about it in the past. And, you know, there is a general consensus about like whether you're a fall or a fall, winter, spring or summer. But I thought it'd be really interesting if we all took the quiz ourselves to discover what color palette we are based on a quiz from 30somethingurbangirl.com. I didn't find the perfect quiz. I know this quiz is definitely aimed at women.
30somethinggirls.com. That's what it's aimed at. Yes.
I think it's for women of color as well. I'm not positive, but nevertheless, what did you guys get?
Go on, Brent.
All right, so I took this quiz. Let me stress, this was an AOL-style quiz with fonts from 1998.
No, it's not.
There were eight questions, two of which were about my ideal lipstick color, which I don't know what that is because I don't wear lipstick. Not that there's anything wrong with wearing lipstick. So this was, to me, a wash, but my answer was, I'm a clear winter, whatever the fuck that means.
What about you, Alan?
I'm a spring. I didn't write down what the color was, though, but I'm a spring, which makes sense for me. Although I will say my personal palette does not match that because clearly I'm a denim/dark person, which I know does not fit. I should be wearing I should look like I did in high school, wearing florals and like khaki and like light colors and all that shit, because that's what this fucking quiz told me I should be doing. But I will never, ever, ever do that.
I mean, that would be amazing if you started wearing pastels.
Yes, like I know. Wouldn't it be?
I mean, like if you were wearing like peach, like the color peach and like a soft lime or something.
I can only do that as Sadie. I cannot do that as me.
To have the red hair for it.
Yeah. I mean, but even I have like my hair color matches sort of like a Eastery palette. You know what I mean? I have that sort of like, let's just be real, that beautiful brown blondish sort of like hue to my hair. But I'm dark inside. Inside, I am Susan Sontag walking through the streets of New York, angry at life.
Not as dark as me, bitch.
Wait, Brent, what was yours again? Winter?
Clear winter.
It doesn't make sense. You're a
do you know why that doesn't make sense, Elliot? Because this is horse shit. But what did you get, Elliot?
It's not. It's objective, and it's about the color, your skin tone, and the colors that flatter it. And for me, I got, as I expected, deep autumn.
Okay.
The deep autumnal colors, earth tones, you know, chocolate browns, magentas, auburn, coppers. These are the colors that I've always found to be flattering. And mm-hmm. because of my pseudo olive skin tone, I would have thought that you'd be a winter. I thought you'd be a fall as well.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, because maybe you're olive. Maybe I input the wrong answer under the what's your ideal lipstick color. So I don't know.
Maybe you're too mad about that.
Maybe my data was skewed.
That's the fun thing too, though. Can't you wear like any lipstick color, like depending on your
spring.
Mood?
That's what it was. I knew I wrote it down. I'm a soft spring.
Soft spring.
A soft spring. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
Which I'm not so soft.
I mean, but that, I don't think that's, I mean, I'm not clear, but I'm a clear winter. I think these are just, again, these are sort of like, these are absurd terms
clear winter
that people
for you
make up.
Because of your olive skin, I see that as sort of like a, I get the clear winter for you. That oddly is making sense in my head.
But the color palette that they showcased when you got the answers was not one that I wear a lot.
Right. It's suggesting you should wear that.
Okay.
So maybe,
okay. Like, what colors were in that palette? Do you remember?
I don't remember, unfortunately.
Because mine are like peachy, mauve-y. Or is that how you say mauve? Yeah. Mauve.
Mauve.
Yeah.
Mauve-y. Like, I'm like, and also, like, I mean, I have.
Mauve.
I mean, if you look at my makeup, I have all the colors matte. They do match sort of like, this is my boy makeup, but like they do match sort of like the colors that the quiz gave me, I will say.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what?
Did you just say boy makeup? excuse me?
You think
I
this
don't
is natural?
Discern. I don't discern between girl and boy makeup like you do, Alan, I guess. All I see is makeup. That's all
wow.
I see.
So, wow.
So best of
no,
luck to you,
no,
close-minded bigot.
True. There we go. There's the color. There's the color. There's the color. Let's see that.
Yeah.
There's the color.
Yeah,
very
that
nice.
Just looks like a maroon to me.
Yeah.
That
was a blush. A blush.
A blush?
Yeah, deep blush. I love it. You feel the color blush.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, put some on.
Yeah. There you go.
So, Elliot, are you gonna change anything in your wardrobe based upon the results of this AOL quiz?
No, it was correct. I know that I'm not supposed to wear bold colors. You know, although it did suggest a grape jelly purple, and I'm like, what am I, a children's entertainer?
I hope you go and you change all of your sex toys to the colors of your season. Sex. Please. I want a mauve dildo in your apartment as a centerpiece.
God, it would be weird to have like sex toys that are like neon colors, though.
Oh, I think those exist. Those
they certainly exist.
Sure, but that would be bizarre to like.
I don't know. If you really want to see, like, because I never understood why, like, sex toys were, like, skin colors. Because I'm, like, the whole point of a sex toy is, like, I guess, if you're, especially if you're sharing with people, you want people to see it. So, like, you kind of want, like, a neon, because no one's neon green. So, like, you know, if you kind
of
get lost
in your. The idea of seeing, like, a neon green, like, what do they call it? A rabbit? The rabbit?
Pussy. You call it a pussy plug, Elliot.
Like that, I mean, you call a butt plug a pussy plug, which makes even less sense to me. It took me years to figure that out. But the idea of like a neon green butt plug is baffling. Like that just feels like it's bound to make the skin and the tones look, I don't know, vulgar.
As you were describing this, I just ordered you one on Amazon. You're welcome.
There you great. Go. Make sure it vibrates.
What would your aunt say? Okay, Brent, what would your aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
Oh, I wouldn't know, because once I heard Biden administration, I tuned out.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. My aunt Joanne would say, I'm whatever's half price at Neiman Rack. Off the rack, whatever it's called. Neiman's rack, off the rack, who cares? What about Aunt Anne?
I've only got one sex toy, and it's my cookie jar.
Oh, love that. Love that.
Also can be a metaphor for something, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I can. Yes,
you
I can.
You want a taste of my cookies? Go to my cookie jar.
Absolutely. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Mr. Brent Sullivan. You can find Alan on Instagram at Sadie Pines. You can find Elliot on OnlyFans at Kielbasa King.
Kielbasa. Yeah. Kielbasa King. That's right.
Kielbasa.